fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Lloyd Greenhaw, my good friend and collaborator in Renewal Ministries and the work of international missions work. He serves as a country coordinator for our organization, and that means working directly with bishops, priests, lay people, and religious on the ground in many countries, from the South Pacific to Africa and to all kinds of countries in between. And Lloyd's been here with us this week so far, just kind of sharing his story. And if you haven't had time to hear the program, you're just tuning in today, maybe for the first time, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived right there on the computer. You can download them and listen to them on your computer or put them on an iPod or whatever it is, whatever device you use to be able to listen to them at your leisure while you're there. I'd encourage you to just browse around. You could go to our missions page and you can read about some of the things that Lloyd and his lovely wife Nancy have been spearheading really around the world in support of our work and really advancing the Great Commission in the church and the new evangelization. Lloyd, welcome back.
Peter, it's wonderful to be back again. Thank you.
Yeah. What's going through my mind from what you said yesterday, kind of stuck, you said you learned through the help of this priest, a priest in your parish or wherever it was, to give God permission. Those are three life-changing words, give God permission. And that really was a key turning point for you, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Lest anybody gets the wrong idea, that was really the best thing that ever happened to us, Peter, because we began to really understand God's plan for us. If you want to find peace and serenity in your life, it's not in the pursuit of riches, it's in doing the will of God. And once you find out what God's will for you is, even though there may be interim difficulties, if you would, that's where you're going to find your peace, where you're going to find your fulfillment and your satisfaction. And, you know, initially it was a little on the rough side. I think a lot of it has to do with male ego, Peter. Here I was, everybody pat me on the back, you know, you're a basic overachiever in so many different ways and things here. And that pride thing, you know, where you say, well, I provide for my family, you know, I don't need anybody to help me, you know.
And you can say that to the Lord too, Lord. You can get on board too, Lord. I'll help you out. I'm a good guy. You can trust me, right?
Exactly.
As long as you're in the driver's seat, right?
Exactly. That was just another aspect of purification, you know, a part of the another aspect, if you would, of the dark night of the soul. And this whole.
So how did that purification happen? You know, you started to pray the prayer. You and Nancy said, yeah, Lord, we want to give you permission to lead us in any direction in our life you want. And then what happened after that?
Well, you know, Peter, I was in business with a number of different people, and we were bringing products, importing products out of Europe, and we were selling the United States, and we had letters of credits and lines of credit, and everything cross-collateralized by land and things here. And the oil and gas business is cratered in the 80s in Louisiana. And suddenly, values of land that used to be several thousand dollars an acre were like $500 an acre. And, of course, you get margin calls and things like this. So even though I had never not made a payment and everything here, it's one of those things that myself and so many people were just whipsawed out of business in Louisiana. And it's just one of those things. And I hope other people are not penalized because God was trying to teach me. But anyways, like I say, the tendency always is to try to help God out a little bit. My wife used to say to God, God, how are we gonna live? How are we gonna eat? And God says, trust me.
Now, was there a moment, Lloyd, where you kind of thought, wait a minute, I just said I'll give you permission, and then this is what you're going to do? You know what I mean? It's like, wait a minute, I knew it was going to be something like this. Or was it? Did you wrestle with that a little bit at that point?
Well, I did not. Well, Nancy verbalized it. My wife, Nancy, verbalized it best. You know, she says, after this all happened, she said, well, wait a second, God. Is there anybody else up there?
Yeah.
Can I get a second opinion here? Yeah. Lord, I'm not St. Francis. I like my clothes. I like my cars. Yeah. I like my house. And, and you know, God again and again says, trust me. And Nancy, she's teaching this, and she'll say, you know, okay, God, I don't know how to trust. I've trusted in my husband. I've trusted in our checks that comes in every week in the mail. I trusted in our abilities and things here. But God, I've never trusted you. I've never trusted you in my life, and I don't know how to trust. But I'll try to trust you. Today, God, I've got food in my stomach. I've got a roof over my head. I've got a phone I can call my children. I can trust you for today, but I no guarantees for tomorrow. And so the next day, food, phone, so on and so. And then after a while, Peter, you look back and now you have a history with God, that God has been faithful all the way down the line. And once you see a history that God is who he says he is, that his promises are true, then your faith slowly grows and grows and grows so that you begin to trust God. Until where we're at right now, in the area of finances, we have learned to trust God because God, in the 26 years that we've been in full-time ministry, God has never allowed us to go hungry. We don't have hospitalization and life insurance, but Peter, we never get sick. Here, I'm 73 years old. I hardly ever even get a cold all of these years. So, you know, God is faithful. God is faithful. But initially, you know, Nancy and I both, you know, we struggle with it. With me, it was kind of, here again, this male ego thing that, okay, God, well, what I'll try to do is I'll try to help you. I'll just get a little bit of job on the side. Before I was a golden boy, Peter, whatever I did, it would turn to gold. I mean, it was obscene, the amount of money that we were making and things here. And now nothing worked. The best programs in the world that I tried, nothing worked because God wanted me to get to the point and said, okay, God, I'm really going to do this now. You don't need my help.
There's that period of testing. He's so serious about leading us as his disciples and mentoring us and forming us. When we give him permission, and you say, Lord, essentially we're saying, Lord, I do really want to follow you. I want to learn what it means to be a follower of yours and to put you at the center of my life. And then he'll test it to the degree that we're able to handle. He never gives us more than what we can handle because his love for us is perfect. It's great. In your case, part of what I observing kind of your story and seeing your ministry over these last number of years, I mean, the Lord had something very specific in mind for you and Nancy that had to do with preaching the gospel in the Catholic Church, like the lay apostolate, sort of having a particular role. Most Catholics don't have that same experience. They are not called to live the kind of life you guys are living, but he does call everybody to give him permission in whatever walk of life they're in, right?
Exactly. Well, you know, Peter, one of the things I learned before, it was everything was mine. You know, the house was mine, the cars were mine, the boats were mine, everything was mine. And the difference now, Peter, is that everything belonged to God. I can tell our listeners out there, yeah, if you give God permission, you know, God doesn't automatically just take everything away from you, you know. You can still stay in the same house. You can still write checks on the same account, as long as you understand that they belong to God and they're given to you to serve God and to his kingdom and things here. Probably your lifestyle may not change at all. Ours was kind of radical because God had a radical call on our lives. Yeah. But don't be afraid to give God permission because you need to know he wants you to understand that he does have a plan for you, that everything is his, that we bring nothing into the world, we'll take nothing out of the world, that everything belongs to him, and he'll pass it on down through the generations to whoever he chooses to accomplish his perfect plan to bring everybody into a saving knowledge of the Father in heaven.
Yeah.
And, you know, Peter, there's in this journey, you know, I won't call them side cuts or, you know, detours or whatever. It's all part of the overall plan. I know one of the things that when we started ministering with the Lord, you know, we had no idea where we were going because we didn't know what it meant to be a lay Catholic evangelist. We read the Mission of the Redeemer. We read the Vatican II documents on the document of the lay apostolate. We read Agentus, understanding that the permanent missionary mandate of the church and that every believer is called into that particular thing. But we really, that was all nebulous. That was all theological. You know, we didn't have any practical application. And one day, one of the ladies that we knew that we had ministered in youth ministry with by the name of Kristen Taylor, she was a remarkable woman. She had 8 children, 4 of them biological, 4 that she had adopted, and a beautiful blondie girl. Nancy always laughed and said, you know, when I first met her, I couldn't stand her because she said she was beautiful. She had a fantastic voice and said, man, there's got to be a pimple on that lady someplace.
Yeah.
But anyways, Kristen was a real deal. And she called one day and her mom and dad, she kind of looked at Nancy and I as kind of a surrogate mom and dad because her mom and dad had died that year. And it was Thanksgiving and her husband had gone to go snow skiing out in Colorado with his brother and sisters there. And so Kristen said, well, it's Thanksgiving. I'm not going to sit in this big house by myself. So she loaded up her 8 kids and they baked some turkeys and they went out looking for homeless people. And they were driving around. They couldn't find any homeless people. And so they stopped a police car and he said, well, I think over here by Peace River in the brush there, there's a little camp of homeless people. And so she came over there and stood at the edge of the brush and said, is anybody hungry? And all of a sudden, some of these men come walking out and, yeah, baby, yeah, you know. And she says, no, I've got some food for you, you know. Anyway, she fed them, and the next, she brought some of her husband's clothes, and she began to distribute some of her husband's clothes. Well, when he came back the next week, and then, so he went with her to feed the homeless, said, boy, that guy's got a shirt just like mine. It finally dawned on him that Kristen gave away all the clothes in his closet to the homeless people. Well, anyways, the third week she called and said, hey, you guys have got to come and help us. And I'm thinking to myself, no way, no way. We have so much on our plate. There's no way, because I know us, compulsive, obsessive about everything. If we get involved in this, it's going to be to the hilt and stuff. But we made that fatal mistake again, and we started, that went with the next week, and began to feed the homeless. And the things we saw, Peter, God's love and his mercy were so dramatic. It changed us. It changed our heart. It gave us a different worldview. I began to see these people that I met on the streets. There were doctors, there were lawyers, there were university professors that got hooked in drugs, crack, different things here that made maybe one wrong turn. But they were good people that made one mistake. And as we began to talk to them about Jesus Christ, they all knew Jesus, or most all of them knew Jesus. They believed in Jesus, but they didn't believe that God could forgive them because of the things they've done, because they couldn't forgive themselves. That was a beginning of a real, I think, changing of our worldview. God began to allow us to see him in the faces of the people around us. I had never experienced that before. I always kind of looked down on the homeless. Why don't you do better or whatever? But I began to see that these were people that, except by the grace of God, there I go, Peter. And just a couple of quick stories, you know, about this. You know, people don't change overnight. But as we began over the 5 or 6 years, every Sunday, it grew from just a few of us going out there. By the fourth or fifth year, we were feeding over 500 people every week under the overpasses of Tampa Bay, Florida. And we grew, youth groups came out and helped us. We had one lady that went to all of the garage sales. She went to laundry. She bought clothes. She washed them. She sized them. Another lady gave haircuts. I mean, it became quite a thing. And my wife and I, we went primarily just to pray for the people, bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and let them know that God still loved them despite that. And after we were faithful, we came every week. People used to ask us, you know, why are you here? Don't you know football games are on Sunday? Why aren't you with your family? And I says, you are our family because God loves you, and he's got a plan for you. And this is not God's plan for you. God's got a good plan for you, a plan to bless you and prosper you. And over a period of time, we saw very dramatic things. One of the things, Peter, I'll share, there was a man by the name of Frank. Frank, for the first 2 or 3 years that I met him, was drunk every time we saw him. Mm-hmm. And one night he came after 2 or 3 years, and it was raining, it was cold for Tampa, and he was soaking wet, and he didn't have any shoes on. Well, one of our men by the name of Ray Hurley that was with us said, here, take my shoes. And he said, no, I'm not going to take your shoes. And Ray said, no, I'm going to be going home, and I have shoes at home. So he gave him his shoes. He gave him his jacket. His wife was mad because it was a brand-new jacket that she had bought for him. Anyways, we probably don't have time to finish this story. Maybe we have another opportunity. I can do it next time. But God had
perfect. Let's do that. Can you come back tomorrow?
Yeah, I'd love to come back because this is a story worth hearing.
Yeah, people probably hang on.
Come back tomorrow. You got to hear about Ray and Frank.
No, thanks so much, Lloyd. Part of the reason I've asked Lloyd to be with us to kind of unfold and share his story is that every one of us have a personal call. Every one of us are called not to do just what Lloyd did, but God has a plan for each and every one of us, and Jesus wants to accompany us and lead us deeper into his church and deeper into the mission of the church. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.